Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ace Michaels Blog Talk Radio Show, available worldwide, 24 hours a day, on iTunes and Facebook. Be inspired, be informed, be on. Enjoy the show.
Woman.
It is the Buzz Blog Talk Radio. Ace Michaels, your host for the show that you love. You love it. You can't get enough of it. That's why you are listening now, because that's what you do. So, listen, it was my dumb friend had said the other day, Donald Trump. We were talking about Donald Trump. And my dumb friend goes, well, you know, Donald Trump, because that's what my dumb friend sounds like. Well, you know, Donald Trump got all his money from, you know, his family. That's how he made it. He's not a self-made guy. He's like a guy that got money given to him from his family. So I decided to go and investigate that because it sounded a little suspect to me, right, that Donald Trump wouldn't have amassed all of the riches from his own hard labor, you know. So I did an investigation, and it turns out that my dumb friend was right in that Donald Trump did actually get an inheritance. So this is what it said on the Investopedia. This comes from Investopedia.com. Fred Trump, who's Donald's daddy, Fred Trump died in 1999 with an estimated net wealth between $250 million and $450 million, kind of like me. Most of his money was made when Donald was in high school and in college from the real estate business. It is estimated that Trump, Donald, received an inheritance between $40 million and $200 million from his father's estate. So we hear all the time about how people take real estate and they invest a little bit of money. So if you don't know, like $40 million, that's just a little bit. That's like a little piece, right? But they invest a little piece and then turn it into a big piece, right? So I was curious, how does this happen? Does anybody know how this is done? I've heard this is a process called flipping, right? And not flipping like the bird, but like flipping the house is a process that people do. But I personally, I don't know anything about it. I don't know how you go from making $40 million to more than $40 million. I would think if I had $40 million that my dad left me, or, you know, as it says in the article, $40 to $200 million, I would just be stuck. I wouldn't know really what to do except just kind of live with that. $40 million would have to last me. You know what I'm saying? But people like Donald Trump, they know how to take that $40 million and turn it into some real money. Right? So today on the show, we have a professional who knows about this taking $40 million and quote-unquote flipping it. Now, by the way, if you have any ideas, you want to call the show, you have a question you want to call, you're welcome to. Our number is 646-595-4802, or you can always email. Hey, man, you can't call, email. You can always email the show, beonthebuzz@yahoo.com. Welcome to the show, Lene Zoe Forbes, probably not related to the Forbes giants that we know of Forbes, but we'll find out. But Lene, welcome to the show. It's me, Ace. How you doing, darling?
Oh, thank you so much. I am so pleased. I love the story you started out with on Trump. That's actually awesome.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm working on something similar to that. So it's great to hear
really?
You talking about that.
What?
Yeah,
okay.
Our office takes the flip out of real estate. So, I mean, it's cool to hear how he took and made, you know, money off of his money that he inherited.
Yeah.
He didn't just sit on it.
Now, before we go down the road, can you explain to the rest of us lay around on the couch, men, about what exactly is going on? When you say you flipped the house, what does that mean?
Well, normally what happens is, you know, there's a lot of times people are what we call house rich and cash poor. So they either inherit a house or they wind up living. There's a number of reasons that things would happen. But they have all this
mm-hmm.
equity, you know, wrapped up in their house, but they have no way to improve the property. So they wind up going on the market, and then all the investors come out, and they lowball the property because they look at it and they go, well, we've got to go in and paint it, and we've got to go in and clean it and do the carpet and all these, cosmetic things to make this property what we would call move-in ready.
Right.
So then,
right.
But they don't want to just do a flip and you know, without making money. They've got a system set up. They look at it and they go, okay, we can only buy it at this price. And once we do that, we're going to put this much money in it. And then we're going to put it back on the market because we're going to expect to make this much money on it.
Right.
So what my office does is kind of the different. We actually help our clients that are house rich and cash poor. And that's the key. In order to be eligible for the program is they can't be a short sale. They can't be upside down. They can't have a huge mortgage if we are then, you know, dealing with the market, because right now our market has softened.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got an appraisal in on a property the other day and we were kind of like punched in the gut, basically. And
oh
this
my
is
God.
Not
oh my
uncommon.
God. What is with this terminology? Holy, punched in the gut. What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, we're talking like $50,000 below what was agreed to purchase for.
This is getting too serious too fast. Okay, good. I understand. Okay.
Yeah, well, but this is what we get to deal. You know, we live right now, and a lot of people forget this. We no longer live where people have equity or cash in the bank. So, you know, when we say a house is worth what someone's willing to pay, it is not that the case. Often it's being lended on. So someone's coming in and they bring in their bank, and guess what the bank does? They bring in and do their appraisal. And that's what then drives the value of that property.
Okay, can I ask you a question? Am I allowed? May I? Okay. here's my question. This is what I don't understand, okay? Mankind has been living in houses since the beginning of mankind. You know what I'm saying? there's been housing for man of some type from the beginning, like ever since Oog first, like, clubbed his first woman, there's been some kind of way that Oog has had a roof over his head. So how come after all these millions of years, man doesn't know anything about appraisals and mortgage and lending rates and all this? Like, is this just like legal mumbo-jumbo to keep people from knowing any better?
You know, it's a good, you know, a good question. We went through this meltdown in 2007 and 8, going all the way into 10 being, you know, our bottom of our market. And a lot of it had to do with lending practices. So it's like, yeah, the lenders actually confuse the borrowers, and the borrowers go in like deer in the headlights, and they sign all these documents. And then the next thing they know, they go, oh, I bought this house for $800,000, now it's worth $400,000. And I got a mortgage for $800,000. And oh my gosh, now I can't pay for this. So they bail out, and then so at the top of the market in 2006, we had a lot of different kinds of loans. But one of the first ones that started failing was a loan called an option arm. That option arm gate was intended for the homeowner. It was only intended for the investor who had a renter. And for the 1 month that he maybe not had somebody in there, he would pick the lowest payment, which was below interest, which means if the interest payment was $1,000 and the below interest payment was $500, that means that $500 of that payment was deferred back onto the loan. Well, you put homeowners into that type of loan, what do you think they're going to do? Every month they're going to go, oh, my God, we're short, so we're going to go ahead and do that little payment. And all of a sudden we've got houses that have been churning this. And those were the first mortgages to fail. And so Dodd-Frank came out and said, oh, guess what, loan officers, you can no longer sell that loan because that one's the one that paid you lots of money, and that's why we put homeowners into it, because the banks gave them a big carrot and said, here, we'll pay you lots of money. And all of a sudden now we've got this upside-down market. Those loans started failing, then the rest of the market followed. So you had the subprime loans that were going just as bad as quickly. A lot of people got caught in that.
So now let me ask you something. Now this is some hearsay, okay? I'm gonna share some hearsay. I was gonna ask permission, and then I realized that the law of hearsay is I don't need permission. It's hearsay. I can say it whenever I want. So
that's right. It's your show.
Well, in theory, yeah. So this is the thing that I heard. Okay, a little birdie told me. Okay, because I'm quite a conspiracy theorist. A little birdie said, you know what, banks want you to lose your home. And so banks are unscrupulously trying to get people to lose their homes. Is there any truth to that? That's just hearsay, right? Banks wouldn't do that. Banks are our friends, right?
I could take a whole nother show and talk about that, to be honest with you, because I can tell you how that happened. But that would take too long.
Okay.
So that would take us off the subject of, you know, the great Donald Trump and his flipping, and what I was going to talk about today, how our office helps the people who have are house rich and cash poor do the same thing and get and be on the positive side of the flip, which means they're no longer doing the flip because I'm taking the flip out of the property and allowing their family or their estate to take in the instead of losing $20,000 or $15,000, gaining the $20,000 or $15,000 for a very nominal fee with my office to handle that.
Nice. Now tell me, how rare is this for somebody to do this? Like, it doesn't sound like every company is doing this. This sounds like something that if you're lucky to work with you, you're going to get the benefit of this, but not every damn body's going to get the benefit of this. Right?
And you're correct on that. And a lot of it is because, see, I am the owner and broker of Forbes Realty Group, okay? And guess who's the boss?
You?
Yeah.
Well, I figured.
So
you sound like the boss.
So now I no longer have to go get permission. So if I'm a regular agent out there and I have my license hung with Keller Williams, I have to go get permission from Keller Williams to do what I'm doing. So your typical agent is not going to probably be in the position to do that. Where this comes from is what we call the independence, and my office is considered an independent because we're not having to pay franchise fees to the Keller Williams and the Coldwell Bankers of the world. We're our own boss, and we don't have to pay anybody else to carry the name. And I got fortunate. I married the right man because he had the right name, and I always tease him, you got the last name Forbes. Cool. That's what we're naming our office. So, yeah, I like to play on that a little bit. Poor guy. I always tell him, he's there to open doors and use his name.
Now, okay, obviously that is extremely awesome, but my listeners, they don't want to hear that. They want to hear mortgage, mortgage, loan, loan, flip, flip, flip. You know what I'm saying? They want you to break it down
to them. So if you want
to
talk about what
news.
You were talking about earlier, did the banks do that?
Yeah,
in essence, the banks did. Think about this for a minute. When I talked to you about when the failure of the market happened, and the confusion, I was actually a mobile notary, and I would go around the town and help people sign their loan documents. And one of the things that I did is I read those documents so that when I went in and had them, signing those documents, I would give them a small overview of what each document meant. So, for example, the deed of trust says, most people don't know this, that you're agreeing not to have illegal activities or illegal substances in your property. Well, why would you put something like that? Well, if you're a dentist office, you're going to have prescription drugs on your premises. Well, now you have to have an addendum to the deed that addresses that. So there are exceptions to those things. But for us as a normal homeowner, we're not allowed to have illegal – and it would just be hilarious because I'd say that and someone goes, you mean I can't have a prostitutes in my house? I'm like, no. They're thinking, I can't have a pot farm? No.
Which is sure a popular question, I'm sure, among certain circles. Like, you kill animals, no prostitutes. I got you.
Got it. But here's the thing. I understood those documents. Well, one of the things that came about was what we called the option arms. A lot of people are familiar with the adjustable rate mortgage, the fixed rate mortgage. The fixed rate is probably the best because we know what our payment is going to be every month for the next 30 years, with the exception of the taxes and insurance that always go up that changes your payment. But your mortgage payments itself would not change. Whereas with an adjustable rate, it's going to be changing. So you might sign a three-year fixed for the first 3 years, but then it's going to jump 2 points. Well, what happened with the option arm is that it was based on what they called the LIBOR rate, and it would move monthly, okay? So you had a choice of 4 payments. You could pay less than interest, 30 years, and a 15-year. But because you had that, it was an adjustable rate at all times. So right at the beginning of our market in 2005 and 2006, that rate was a little bit higher because, like, right now people are getting 3.5% interest rates based on their credit report. If they've got at least a 680 or better, most of the time they can get those great rates. All right? So
right.
When people ask me about rates, I can't really tell them anything. I always have to send them to the mortgage person because rates are based on a number of factors. One is your current FICO score, the amount of debt you have, and how long have you been at your job or type of business that you're in. So those are things that actually play a huge part in how your interest rate is brought to you. It's not a cookie cutter. It's not the same for every person. So there's a lot of exceptions. If someone's a self-employed person, they actually get sometimes dinged for a higher rate because they're depending on a market, like me as a real estate agent.
And this is good information because now most people don't know anything about this. Going back to our example of OOG, right? We're just not supposed to just know this, right? Even though housing is a very natural, it's almost one of our human rights. Like, you got to have a place to live. You know, you can't not have a place to live, right? But no one is really trying to explain how you can keep a roof over your head for 30, 40 years through that mortgage that you signed. It's just supposed to be, hey, man, you signed it and good luck. So what you're doing is you're providing the service to take some of that stress off people's shoulders, right?
Right. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I think I like sharing this. I always ask the question, did you know that your hairdresser requires 13 times more education than a real estate agent? You really should be asking your real estate agent what their background is because, you know, I came through as a processor for lending. I processed loan packages. I also worked as an escrow assistant at Title. So when I sit down with my clients, you've probably figured this out already, I actually have a lot ongoing. I can explain a lot of things and give them the assurance that, hey, you're dealing with an agent that not only is educated but experienced in this market. So I get to tell everybody I have 25 years of industry experience. That goes a lot farther than my peers, most often have never worked in lending or never worked at a title company.
Interesting. And how do they get by so far with so little? Because don't a lot of these realtors, these realtors make millions of dollars, don't they? Or
Yep, and I actually picked up a client yesterday, and the reason I got picked is because their friend apparently didn't have time to show them a $400,000 house. Sometimes the agents get a little too busy, and then you're like, are you so busy you can't go make $10,000?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I thought there was some part of that I was missing. Now, to me, being the common man, that is a no-brainer to me. Obviously, you can make time to make $10,000, right?
Oh, right. But you know what? It's so funny that you bring that up. I tell everybody, I said, you know, I've been in the industry for 25 years. I have never sold a home. I am a project coordinator. I coordinate your closings. I am the one who helps you negotiate your what you're going to pay for the house to begin with. And then I'm the one that has to come back and renegotiate if we have an issue with an appraisal. I'm also the person who works very diligently to not have additional fees come up as surprises. And a lot of times, I left a brokerage because they wouldn't support me telling everybody, no, my buyer was not paying an additional $100. No, no, no. And the $100 wound up being $1,000. And I'm like, see? If we agreed to the 100, now they think it's nothing to add another $900 to that. And I'm like, that's not right. And in the end, my seller came out on top, and they did not have to pay that $1,000 because I fought for the client. But I do it on both sides. It doesn't matter if it's the selling side or the listing side. But according to Zillow, most of the time, and it might change now because of the market, most of the time I get my seller's top dollar, and most of the time I get my buyer's the best price. However, the last couple of appraisals have just basically shot that in the foot because we're being controlled by a credit market. And the banks basically send in their appraisers, and the appraisers come in. And get this, an appraisal is an opinion by somebody who's giving arbitrary values to things sometimes. What does it take to put a pool in a property? Well, they pick three houses, and one of them has a pool. if it really costs $30,000 to put a pool in onto a property, does it bring the value up $30,000 according to the appraisers? No. So they'll only give a $20,000 credit to the person who has a pool.
Right.
So that changes everything. So it's like I had an appraisal done. Get this. This is a really true story. In a 30-day period, three appraisals came in on one property, and it was a very unique property. It was a half-acre, single-story, detached garage with a casita in it. And the detached garage had, like, the ability to put a what they call an RV in it. So it's one of those things. It's like, how many of those do you have in that neighborhood? Not a lot. So you're depending on the appraiser to give value for that. I'm not kidding you. The first appraisal was $369. The second one was $349, and the third one was $323. And I'm telling you, I looked at all three of those appraisers, and every one of them gave different values for the pool, gave different values for the garage, gave different. And you're just like, how did that? So this is what we're depending on our financial market, is somebody who is giving value to the property that is being lended on. Scary, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Appraisers carry a lot of weight in this industry, and they don't make as much money as the real estate agent either. They make maybe $300 or $400 per appraisal. It doesn't matter what the price of the house.
Do you think
now,
that
the bigger
that might
ones,
affect,
the million ones, they get big ones, but
do you think too that that might affect their motivation to be honest a little bit, or is there some unscrupulousness going on?
Here's the thing that. So since the meltdown, one of the things that happened is appraisers no longer can talk to the lender directly. So they can't talk to the loan officer, and they can't talk to the real estate agent. They have a protection around them. So they have what they call the servicer between the appraiser and the lenders. And this particular company is supposed to then run that appraisal through a number of different things to ensure that the appraiser isn't doing that, okay? And then this is according to my friend. She's been doing appraisals for 25 years. And she said, and if you don't get what they call a score of 5, they will no longer allow you to appraise. And since most appraisals are for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, if they don't pass muster with them, they're out of business. So they have to go through a scoring too. And for the amount of money they make on those appraisals, I'm like going, wow, that's a lot of work and a lot of stress that if you don't make the mark, it's like going through a test every time you do an appraisal.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And so what in the long scheme of it, people, they're going to find interest in what we're talking about today, and they're going to say, you know what, I need to call Ms. Forbes right now. How do they? Because you know that's
how
what they sound
me?
Like. You know that's what. You know that's how they talk. They go, oh, wait a minute now. Hold on. I got to call Ms. Forbes on this here. So reach you if
how
they
about
want
if I do this?
With?
I give you my phone number and my website address and my email.
That sounds like a good way to start.
All right. Well, I love my phone number. It's easy to take down. It's 702-743-7797. So that's pretty easy, right?
It's easy for me, yeah.
702-743-7797. And then my email address is actually fairly easy. It's Forbes Realty Group, NV for Nevada, @gmail.com. And then we're even going to be easier for the website, ForbesRealtyGroup.com. And, yes, I did find it. I was, like, surprised and shocked. Because when we started playing with the name, that was one of the things I'm like, can we get that name? And we did.
And that's one of those things, as soon as you see it, you act on it. You know, you better grab it before the next guy in line.
Oh, yeah, we did immediately.
So.
Yep. Uh-huh.
That's
and then
very cool.
I have the fictitious name for the Clark County, and I was able to grab that as well. So we actually own the name of Forbes Realty Group here in Las Vegas for Clark County.
Very nice. And let me ask you let's talk business for a second. Now, are you giving people a free consultation, a low-cost consultation, or, you know,
well,
give me your first child kind of consultation?
Well, what we do is anybody who signs up for through today, the show, and they let us know that they did come through the show, they get a free, we pay for it, property inspection if they're a purchaser. And if they're the homeowner, we go through a number of things. First of all, to see if they're eligible for the flip program, so taking the flip out of real estate. If they aren't, then we also take care of making sure that they have a home warranty in place when we close, so that they don't have to worry about the buyer coming back and going, oh, but the air conditioner broke a week after we closed. Guess what? The home warranty takes care of that. So we do a lot to protect our homeowners and our homeowners-to-be.
Oh, I love it. You're so diabolical.
But it happens. I'm telling you, it happens. It's like a week after the closing, the hot water tank goes out. Well, you know, the home warranty that I use is a local company here in Las Vegas. And what I love about them is that I have them on my own house. And I've had my microwave replaced, my toilets replaced, mm-hmm. my hot water tank was replaced. My air conditioner was an over $600 repair done for $60. So it is, you know, I've had a lot of people be naysayers about home warranties. You know what? I am no longer one of them, because my home has been protected by a home warranty now for 3 years. And I can tell you right now, the cost of the home warranty is small compared to what it would have cost me to do those repairs myself. A toilet, for example, I paid the $60 for them to come in and replace it,
mm-hmm.
that included labor. Okay, go down to the Home Depot. The cheapest toilet is $89, and that does not include the installation.
Interesting.
So yeah, my home warranty is definitely worth it, and that's why we insist that our sellers, if they don't, we put it in place. So because we think that there's a lot of value in protecting the homeowner that's leaving.
Sure.
And then, of course, if I'm the buying agent, I always make sure they have a home warranty too, because we got it, you know, I don't want them going back after the seller, especially if the seller left town. You're going to have a real fight on your hands. So, you know, there's a lot of things that the right agent will do for you.
You know what I love about this conversation is, one, that it happened on Friday the 13th, and so now I don't have to be superstitious about my home buying. But second, that it happened on Friday before happy hour, and now it gives me that much more to go out and drink about all the information you gave me to digest on Friday. I love it. I love
good.
It.
Well, and it takes us into the weekend, so if somebody's looking to, you know, if they're not happy with their real estate agent, and you can say this, I answer my phone. You called me today. I answered my phone. I always answer my phone.
You do that, and I'm not even going to debate the always of it. I'm going to presume that today was just a microcosm in the day of your life. But yeah, you did answer your phone, and that does mean a lot. Business people, answer your phone. You want to do business, answering the phone would be 101.
Yes.
Lene Zoe Forbes was on the show today. Thank you so much for being my
Thank
guest.
Thank you for having me, Ace.
Guest. I didn't have
well,
to be scared
anytime
of you.
You need to. Anytime you need someone to talk about real estate, I am your girl.
I love it. Zoe, thank you for being on the show
girl.
Today. Will you come back
okay.
and do the show again, right? Do it again.
Oh, my gosh, yes, of course.
Okay. All right, y'all. It's Friday. Listen, go out, be safe. Don't go and do that stupid stuff you were thinking about doing. We want to see everybody at their desk safe Monday morning. Thank you, Lene.
Okay, have a great day.